Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to take a quick jaunt through the book of Philippians today, and so you can look on, or the scriptures will be on your screen. If you are on my weekly or quasi-weekly or sometimes weekly e-letter from the church, if you're on that mailing list, then you will know that my mother passed away on Monday. And I just want to say thank you. I had so many words of encouragement and condolences and support from you people, and I really do feel supported from this church. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. Her funeral is tomorrow, and so we're laying her to rest then. And so I appreciate your prayers and your concern, so thank you. Well, we are in fourth of the five-part series. It's about trusting what God says. And today we're trusting what God says. God is who he says he is, was the first week. God will do what he says he will do. I am who God says I am. And today we're going to look at I can do what God says I can do. And then we're going to skip a week. Next week is Thanksgiving. And so I want to talk to you about prayer and Thanksgiving and the power of Thanksgiving and how what that can mean in your life. And then the week after that, we're going to take a look at the Word of God is alive and active. But today I want to look at I can do what God says I can do. Now, if you believe that you can do what God says you can do, you will live out an authentic Christian life. You'll experience the peace and the power that comes with walking with Jesus. If you don't believe that and if you don't walk that out, then you're going to find that you get stuck on your Christian journey. You'll probably wander and flounder thinking, what's up? But when it comes to I can do what God says I can do, there's a number of things that are around the ether of the church that are just misinformation and not helpful. And so, but before we get to the book of Philippians, I want to remind you of the words of Jesus. And you heard this read, and I just want to read it again, Matthew chapter 7. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like the person who built a house on the solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Book of James, you heard it as well. And it says, do not merely be listening to the words and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So all the way through Scripture, you have this idea of we need to do what it says. And it's important that you do what God says. And I want you to know that you can do what God says you can do. You can do what God says you to do. But there are some misconceptions of how to get there. As I was growing in my faith, I understood that God's way was the best way. And I understand that you don't really break God's laws as much as you break yourself against God's laws. If you go against what he says, it just has a way of going wrong. I really wanted to follow God, but I found it really hard to follow God. You see, I read about John Wesley. John Wesley would get up at 5 a.m. and he would pray for a couple of hours before his day got started. I read about Martin Luther and how he would say, the busier my day is, the more prayer I engage in because I need it. And sometimes, and I would read about these great people of faith. So I said to myself, self, what you need is to pray more. And I tried to pray more. I tried to get up earlier and pray. But I found when I got up really early to pray, I fell asleep while I prayed. Have any of you ever done that? I don't know. And sometimes it seemed to be really hard to pry myself out of that cozy bed and get down and to pray. I came to the conclusion that, well, the best Christians are Christians that have a strong will. They have great self-discipline. And so they discipline themselves to do everything that they're supposed to do. By the force of their will, they could make their spiritual life happen. But I started to watch those kind of people. And some of these people were wonderful. But many of them were not so wonderful. They did all the stuff they were supposed to do. They had this spiritual regiment, and they worked it like clockwork. They kept they kept it every day, but it didn't seem to make them kind and compassionate like Jesus. They sometimes came across more like a stereotypical military sergeant. And it seemed that, well, they had this unhealthy pride in their regiment. These people were often legalists. And their spiritual life was all about keeping the rules. And when I looked at them, I saw little joy. So I started to wonder, is it really willpower that makes a person a great follower of Jesus? When some of you hear me say, you can do what God says you can do, you're hearing your sports coach shouting, buckle down, grind it out, you can do it, bear down, you'll make it. You hear that, and it's about the force of your will. I grew up in the middle of the charismatic movement. The emphasis was on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Charismatic movement preached that what you need is an experience with God. They said, what you need is to be filled with the Spirit or to be baptized with the Spirit. And many of them said, well, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. And I was in the middle of the charismatic movement, and I pursued God, and I had many experiences with God. And there's something wonderful about being in the presence of God and having mountaintop experiences with God. And I have to say that many of those experiences improved my relationship with God and gave me a hunger after God. They also built in me a faith that could believe God for great things. But I looked around at the people who were claiming to have these experiences. And some of them were just amazing people, I gotta say. Some of the best people I knew were having these encounters with God. And God changed them, and they served Him, and they gave of themselves. They loved God. They loved others. They oozed Jesus. And there were others who testified to having these experiences. And let's just say, well, they weren't reflecting Jesus all that well. Their faith didn't show up in how they treated people. When you look at the difference, it is what they did and didn't do. And an experience with God is one thing, but when it comes down to the question, are you doing what God says you should do? Well, come with me to the book of Philippians. We don't have time to go through the whole book, of course, but it tells us that we can do what God says we can do. Paul starts out by telling the church this. In Philippians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 9, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he's praying for the church in Philippi. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure, blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. He's praying for knowledge and understanding. He's praying that you will know what is best and what really matters. He's praying for the fruit of your salvation, this righteous character, or as the NIV translates it, this fruit of righteousness. Whether it's righteous character or fruit of righteousness, Paul is saying that growing in knowledge and understanding is good, but if it doesn't affect how you live your life, there's something wrong. We love God in both heart and action. The fruit of righteousness, of a righteous character, is not some stained glass saint. They are simply people who have real lives, and Paul is urging them to live a life of righteous character. When he wrote to the church in Ephesus, he told us a little bit about what that means. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says this. So he's talking to the church. He says this. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. But don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hand for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. He goes on to say, may you get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as every type of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. He's describing what it means to live a righteous life. Let's go back to Philippians 1. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Well, how is that righteous life produced? It's produced in your life by Jesus. Not produced by willpower. It's not produced by human effort. It's produced by Jesus. It's not even produced by experiences, however great and good and right experiences are, unless those experiences lead you closer to Jesus. Now, many of you know that Paul, who's writing these words, was a Pharisee before he became a Christian. And he, like all Pharisees, tried to get to God by human effort. But he came to understand that it's not enough. Philippians chapter 3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what God, Christ Jesus, has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have had confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. And then he goes on to say that he led a life of markers that had all the markers of a righteousness that could be produced by human effort. He says, I had it all, but I wasn't bearing the kind of fruit that Jesus wants to produce in my life. Human effort doesn't cause you to bear righteous fruit. It comes through faith in Jesus. Because faith in Christ unleashes the grace of God. And the grace of God, which we will see later, has a way of transforming us. So when I say I can do what God says I can do, you can do what God says you can do, we're talking about living a life of righteousness, having a character of righteousness, but we're not talking about getting there through human effort, but getting there through faith in Jesus. And we'll unpack that in a few moments. So what does that look like? Well, come back with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. The NIV says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purposes." The NLT translates it this way: "Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you," catch this, "giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him." Giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Why can you do what God says you can do? Because God is at work in you if you are a follower of Jesus. God is at work in you to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. If you are a Christian, God's Holy Spirit is inside you. He's giving you the desire and the power to please him. This is the platform on which you stand to say, "I can do what God says I can do." It's not human effort, not even experience. It's about the Spirit giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So how does it work? How do you live this out? Well, last week we talked about you are who God says you are. He says you're a child of God, part of his family. You're forgiven. You belong to him. Understanding and having confidence in who you are in Christ is the first step towards being able to do what God says you can do. When I say I can do what God says I can do, it assumes that, well, you have a sense of what God is saying you should do. But it can be a little overwhelming. Because some of you will hear, "I can do what God says I can do," as, okay, here's the Bible, obey it, right? That gets a little big for following Jesus. But that isn't how the Christian life works. God takes us right where we're at, but he doesn't leave us there. He moves towards us and invites us to move towards him. And this is how it plays out in your faith. If you're new to the faith, then God is going to deal with the daily sins, you know. He will probably work with you in terms of cleaning up your language or what you watch or how you treat people around you. He takes you where you're at, and then he works with you. And he doesn't say, "Get it all done right now. Act like you are a mature, you've been walking in the faith 30 years. You haven't really been walking in the faith 30 years. So just follow me one step at a time. The Lord is my shepherd, and we just follow behind the shepherd." You can do what he says he can do. If you are a little further on your faith, you'll likely encounter some form of spiritual warfare. You can win at that. You can do what he says you can do. You'll probably, in the middle of this, walk through some significant wildernesses. God can teach you stuff that he can only teach you in the wilderness. But it is not easy. But you'll learn lessons in this wilderness. And you'll learn lessons in engaging in spiritual warfare and winning. You'll learn the lesson is that, yeah, God can be trusted. And I can do what God says I can do. Not because of me, but I've seen God come through again and again. As you move in a little further into faith, you'll likely learn about your spiritual gifts and how to serve and how to give. You'll likely learn what it means to become part of the body of Christ, getting along with people who are different than you. Sometimes living in spiritual community is a little challenging. But as you walk with Christ and as you're listening to him and how you're to treat others, you can do what God says you can do. When you go a little farther and all those lessons have been learned, God will likely lead you into a new kind of prayer and a new kind of living. You will experience more and more of God. It will take time, but you can do what God says you can do. When you move a little farther down the road, you become aware of your own heart. It won't be your behavior that is the problem, but your attitude. And God will show you these things. And maybe you will be the only one who will see them. But God will point them out and say, I want to deal with that. And so we come, and we've been taught again and again that I can do what God says I can do. And so we start to deal with our attitudes. And we realize how deep sin has penetrated our hearts because of the wrong attitudes we have towards some people. We become aware of our hearts. But the whole point is that God takes you where you're at in your journey. He's not going to require you to learn the lessons of the spiritually mature when you are not spiritually mature. But all the way along the journey, he's going to be asking you to be working on something. God is going to be speaking to you about something. So my question to you is, what is God asking you to do right now? Take a second, contemplate that. What is God asking you to do right now? Where is the next stretch in your spiritual life? The next step? If you don't know what God is asking you to do right now, then I would suggest to you that probably your spiritual life has grown cold and you're in danger. And as your pastor, your spiritual coach, I would say, come back to God. Let him speak to you. Let him move in you. Say, Lord, I'm listening. What is the next step for me? For those of you who are trying to learn what God is teaching you, then you will know that it's not a straight line in learning these lessons. Part of learning is failing. For example, God may be convicting you of getting a better hold on your tongue. God's been teaching you about the power of words, and you need to use words to build people up rather than to tear people down. But even as you pray into this change, you find yourself at work or out someplace tearing someone down. And you confess it to God and say, God, I know you're teaching me this, and I just blew it. I confess that I was wrong. God, forgive me. And God forgives. He's really gracious. God continues to love you. You belong to him. But controlling the tongue is harder than it seems. And so what do you do? Verse 13 of Philippians 2. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The desire and the power to do what God has called you to do is coming from God himself. So the issue is not so much how do I discipline my tongue, as much as it is how do I access God's power in a way that I can live where it pleases him. I know this is really basic, but when God is trying to teach you something, when he's calling you to change a particular way, then one of the first things you do is you pray and ask for God's help for it. A lot of us, we hear, oh yeah, God, yeah, I think that's what you want me to do, and then we just barrel ahead and see what we can do to do it. No, you start to pray into God, I believe you're asking me to control my tongue and use it to build people up rather than tear people down. God, I need your help. Often, we think that God is calling us to work on this aspect of our spiritual life, so we set off to work on it on our own. I want you to know that's a rookie mistake. Problem is, a lot of us who aren't rookies still make that mistake. Pray about living out what God is teaching you. The second thing is to push into God, connect with God in a deeper way, become more intimate with God, abide in Him, remain in Him, whatever metaphor works for you. Push into God so that you are connected to Him and you find His power is giving you the power to change. There's a difference between human effort and self-directed effort. Sometimes change does take effort, but it's not the kind of effort where you say, I'm just going to make it, I'm just going to grit my teeth and do it. But so much as it is, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus, step by step. I wish there was more time to explain that, but I don't. But there's a big difference between hiking up a mountain on your own and hiking up hand in hand with Jesus, taking each step with Him, letting Him tell you where the pitfalls and the potholes and the rocks are. Don't go over there, you'll twist your ankle. Don't go off the path, there's dangers right here. There's a big difference between that and saying, I just got to make it to the top of the mountain. There's a big difference between human effort and God-directed effort. When you're following Jesus up the mountain, it still takes effort. But it is the effort in the middle of spiritual companionship. It is effort, but really you're leaning on Him and He's helping you along. And sometimes you'll find that He's even carrying you. It's a different kind of effort. You will find as you start to go further in your faith and you'll find that some of the dysfunctions in you go really deep. And you see this thing in your heart and it goes way deeper than you thought it did. God's at work in you. And He's giving you the desire and He gives you the power to change. But at the same time, when we encounter these deep, hard things to change, we seem to be somewhat lacking. You've pushed into God and you find Him working in you, but there seems to be something that you can't overcome. Back to verse 9 of Philippians chapter 1. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteousness character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For His will brings much glory and praise to God. There are times that you are going to need more knowledge and understanding to move ahead in your spiritual life. Sometimes we try to change the symptoms, but we don't really deal with the root. If you get stuck, start praying for knowledge and understanding. Or start praying that God will bring people across your path that will peel back the layers of your heart so that you can see the root of your dysfunctions and have Jesus deal with them. Because Jesus does do those sorts of things. This morning, some of you may be here and you find yourself discouraged because, well, your walk with Jesus has become hard. You failed so many times, you wonder if you'll ever make it. I do want you to know that you can do what God says you can do. I would suggest that you go back and determine, what's God calling me to do? For some of you, when you do that, you may find that what you have been working on is something that's self-imposed. You say, oh, this is what I need to get better. And you'll see that, oh, maybe that's not what God is calling to do right this second. God is calling me to address this other area. You start to listen. Because You need to hear what is God saying for you to do right now. You pray about it. God, here's what I feel you're calling me to do. Lord, I need your power. I need your power to change me. Having him change your desires and your heart is one of the ways that he accomplishes this. When the opportunity comes up to put it into practice, God is teaching you. And when you succeed, you say, thank you, God, I've been praying about this. And you continue on your way. If you fail, confess your sins to God. Come and ask him for help. Be assured of his forgiveness and go on. If you find yourself always falling, then ask God for knowledge and understanding to move to the next place. Ask him to show you in his word or to bring the right people across your path to help you. Here's what I want you to know. You can do what God says you can do. I know a lot of you are amazing people, but it won't be your amazing effort, human effort, that will get you there. I know that some of you, you've got this regiment and your spiritual life is just kind of hovering right now. But you have a sense, yeah, this is what God's called me to do. I want you to know that he's going to empower that as you move towards him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. For some of you, he may call you to repent on some issues so that you can turn a different direction and walk towards him. For others of you, it may be that, yeah, you've been trying to do all this good stuff on your own, but you haven't found out how to connect with Jesus in a way that he comes through your life. My prayer for you is that you would trust God when he says, I'll give you the desire and the power to do what pleases me. Trust him. You can do what God says you can do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know so often I've tried and failed, and you always are always gracious. Lord, I pray for the people in here who are discouraged, that just don't think they can move any farther on their spiritual journey. Lord, will you give them discernment in terms of what you're calling them to do? And then help them to walk in step with you, drawing close to you. Lord, would you uncover their desire and give them the power to please you? Lord, I pray for those who are in the middle of the spiritual journey and it's going okay. Lord, help them to be very aware that you walk with them. And Lord, continue to give them discernment on what the next step is. Lord, I pray for those who are walking well, but the hill is steep. Help them to put their hand in yours and walk step by step. Help them to hear you about the potholes and the rocks and the path. Lord, I pray, Lord, that for those who have just sat down at a rest place and have said, and going this far and no farther, that you would give them a holy discontentment so that they would stand up and continue to follow you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.